Amen. If you've been here all the past few weeks, what we've been doing is kind of laying a foundation for our church about how we're going to do ministry and who we're going to be as a church. We look to scripture to inform how we go about doing God's work. We don't look at ourselves because we can be very creative people. Amen. And sometimes that creativity gets in the way. And what we want to be is a church that is led by and ordered by God's word. Amen. And so as you get your Bibles, we're going to look at Acts chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8. So I encourage you, if you have your Bible, grab your Bible. If you have your tablet and or mobile device, open your Bible app. Don't play, you know, Candy Crush or Solitaire. Don't be trolling Facebook and Instagram. Just your Bible app. All right, if you don't have one, we'll give you a second to download it. Amen. Some of y'all are like, man, I ain't know. Because that's what I'll be doing. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Y'all pray for me. And so what we've established so far as a church, the foundation for who we are and what we do is Christ and Christ alone. So we began the extreme makeover with understanding that, first of all, we've experienced extreme makeover, that our life has been radically changed because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And so as a result of our life being radically transformed by Christ Jesus, then upon that foundation is prayer. Because Jesus says that his house should be called a house of
prayer.
Amen. So this house should be a house of
prayer.
All right, we're just not just going to hang out and look at each other, but we're going to make it our point. And our priority to pray. And I was so encouraged this week. I mean, we've seen a few more people part of our prayer gatherings. So we have prayer gatherings. We encourage you as a church family to join us during these times of prayer. I think it's just something amazing when we pray together. Okay, I'm going to try that one more time. I think something amazing happens when we pray together.
Amen.
I have scripture that backs that up. And so as we pray together, we expect to experience God. Not just to perform some religious duty, all right? And so last week we talked about this idea of extreme makeover as it relates to disciple making, okay? So we're talking about preparing people to live a life convicted and under the control of God, all right? So it takes us knowing God's word and then willing to share life with other people. Now don't panic. I think as the church, we're supposed to be involved in each other's life. You don't have to say amen. The scripture tells us that. All right? So as a church, we have to be in fellowship, not just go to the fellowship hall. We praise God for space to meet in, but understand that we're to be in fellowship with one another, not just on Sunday morning. I got like two amens on that.
Amen.
Some of y'all are like, I just can't even wait to get out of here and get away from folk. No, the church. We're called to be, somebody left it way too hard. Amen. We're called to be in fellowship with one another. That's how we help people to grow deeper in their relationship with the Lord, and then therefore they're able to live out God's purposes. So the next phase of this, so we're talking about preparation, making disciples. This next phase we're going to talk about today is our ability to reach people. All right, so today we're going to talk about extreme makeover, reach edition. So we're going to talk about evangelism. I'm getting quiet right now. Like, don't we have people for that? No, we're all called to be evangelists. Amen?
Amen?
We're all called. So it's not a professional evangelist we look to tell folks about Jesus. We all have been equipped to tell somebody about Jesus. Even as a matter if it's just us telling our own story.
Yes.
Amen. If you've experienced Jesus yourself, then you have been qualified to tell those about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. And so that's where we're going to start. We're going to look at Acts chapter 8 to kind of set the priority and the foundation for this principle here. So join me in prayer, and then we'll jump into our message on today. Father, we thank you for your word. God, it is nourishment to our soul. It helps us to be shaped into your image. So, Father, we don't look to man's opinions, man's ideologies. We look to you, Lord, to give us clarity. Father, we've come to hear from you and no one else. So Father, I pray that we all would decrease, God, that you might increase and speak to us, your children. God, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I heard a story about this fellow who was on his way to the country market, and as he was going, he noticed that there was a little boy on the front porch swinging. Just swinging. But then he also noticed that the little boy had a dog right next to him. And as he rolled up on the little boy, he says, "Does your dog bite?" And the little boy says, "No, my dog doesn't bite." And so the man reaches out to pet the dog, and the dog jumped up and bit almost half his arm off. The man jumps back and says, "Wait a minute, son, didn't you tell me that your dog doesn't bite?" He says, "Yes, my dog doesn't bite, but this is not my dog." Sometimes the best lessons that are learned are the ones that are earned. Amen. And I bet he won't reach for nobody else's dog from that point on. Amen. And I think as believers that sometimes we learn best in difficult moments. Amen. You don't have to say amen. We do something different. We experience something different when hard times come. And I don't even argue to say that historically God has used hard times to move his people to do stuff.
Yes.
Some of us wouldn't move a muscle if it was not for some trouble coming to our life. Look at scripture. We go all the way back to Adam and Eve. God caused difficulty to move them out of the garden. God used difficulty to move Abram, because remember, when he was called to go to a foreign land, he didn't have a plan. He didn't have a map. That's hard. You don't have to say, man, when you don't know where you're going, you're just going. You just trust the Lord. That's hard. God used that to move people. Think about Joseph. God used difficult moments to move him from his house to the pit to the palace. Uh-huh. And sometimes God even used difficulties to move us.
Uh-huh.
And you can tweet this. Sometimes God uses difficulties to move us from complacency to compliance.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we'll just sit and we'll quote unquote say we waited on God. Just lying. I'm just waiting on the Lord. And there are some things that God has already given us to do that we're just not doing. And sometimes God will use that difficulty to get the best out of us. Think about it. When we've experienced difficulties in our life, that's when we pray our best prayers. We pray longer in those times. Amen.
Amen.
That's when we have those really long wailing prayers, because we're having hard times. We start reading scriptures. We start Bible plans and devotions, all because we've experienced difficulties. Some of us are fasting. Let me say it like this. Sometimes we just start doing stuff we've never done before because we've experienced difficulties. But difficulties in and of themselves are not bad, but it has the power to get the best out of God's people. Amen, sometimes. Sometimes we can just be hard-headed. Amen?
Amen. That's true.
My mom used to say it like this, a hard head makes a soft
bottom.
I'm going to say it. I just want to see if anybody else heard that. So you've heard that sermon before too, right? Because sometimes we're just hard-headed. And so God uses difficulties as a means to move us. Because I promise you, when my mom brought the discipline, it moved me.
Yes.
And so we have to remember that God uses that. And so as we look at the early church had one simple instruction. He said that after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive what? Power. And that power wasn't just so you could walk around and say, "I got power," but the power was used so that you can be a witness for Jesus Christ. And I think one of the things we've lost is our ability to witness about Jesus Christ. We don't mind talking about the power. Oh, I got Holy Ghost power. Oh, praise the Lord. But we're not doing anything.
Uh-huh.
And so as the church continued to grow, the church did not move. And so what God does, he sends a little trouble their way in Acts chapter 8, and he begins to move the church. And I'm just going to say this. I pray that I'm that kind of dude that would do what God said so we won't have to send trouble to move me. I want to make sure that I'm sensitive enough to hear from God and read God's word and to do and to be obedient. Emphasis, obey God's word. So you know how to put a little something. But we can read God's word and do absolutely nothing. I mean, think about that. We can read God's word and it doesn't move us to anything. I remember I was telling my wife, I said, isn't it just amazing how kids can teach you so many different things? I think about me telling my daughter to go clean her room. And she heard her daddy's word. And it'd be a tragedy if she looked back at me and said, Daddy, I heard you, and I'm going to my room. She goes to the room. She does nothing. I come in there, and I say, Olivia, didn't I tell you to clean your room? And she says, I heard you, but I meditated on your word day and night. Your word have I hidden in my heart, so I won't sin against you. Matter of fact, I started a Bible study based on what you told me to do. Because it was so good to my soul. And the room's still dirty. But that's exactly what we do with God's word. We say, I heard you, Lord. It's good to my soul. It stirs me up. It makes me want to do something. But I'm just going to meditate on it. I'm going to pray about it. And what God is looking for is a church that's willing to move when God says move. Amen. Amen, somebody. He wants a church that's willing to listen and obey, not just listen really well.
Yes.
So it's time to move. Everybody say move.
Move.
So as we see the early church, God spoke into, he spoke to them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to be a witness. And then an explosion occurred. Right there in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. As they begin to be obedient to God's word, Peter stands up and he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus, all because he was obedient to preaching the gospel. Right there in Acts chapter 4, verse 4. 5,000 came to Jesus, all because the church is being obedient to doing what thus said the Lord. Amen. Write down Acts chapter 2, verse 47. The Bible says, and God added to the church daily. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. God added to the church daily. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. God added to the church daily. Acts chapter 6, verse 7, God added to the church. Y'all getting the point here. God continued to add to the church because the church was obedient to what God said. And can I say, maybe we're not seeing God add to his church because we're just not obedient people? Maybe we're too complacent with just coming to church rather than being the church. You don't have to say amen. That's okay. We're not seeing the move of God because I think we just have too many people who just like listening to the word but not doing the word. So what's the problem? The church was not moving outside of Jerusalem. Multiplication was happening there, but it wasn't moving out to the ends of the world like Jesus said it would. So what does God do? He creates what I will call, and he writes it down, desirable difficulties. Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book entitled David and Goliath. It's not a Christian book, so don't. He's going to say some stuff that's going to make you jump sideways. But what is the thing he does? He outlines different stories of how people experience various difficulties and how they produce a desirable outcome. He doesn't say the situation was desirable. It just produced something desirable. Sometimes I think we wish we could pick the kind of trouble we can experience. Like, we can have a shopping cart, a shopping list of different things, like, I want this trial on this date at this time. But it doesn't work like that. God knows what kind of difficulty to send to us at the right time, even when we don't think we're ready for it, in order to get the best out of us. And for that, that's a desirable difficulty. Because what it does, it accomplishes God's plan. We don't like it. Matter of fact, we try to pray the difficulty away. And God says, stay right there. Because the difficulty was not designed to defeat us, but it was designed to develop us. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
We are made better people having gone through certain experiences in life. Amen?
Amen.
And so as we look at this particular passage, we see that God uses this brother by the name of Saul as a weapon of mass destruction in order to move the church. Because remember, his word was, I want you to be a witness in all places, not just in Jerusalem. So can we make that contemporary? God doesn't just want us to witness in the church service, but he wants us to go to all places, tell folks about Jesus. I think the problem is we're too worried about the outcome. You see, all the Lord wants us to do is just be obedient and let him add to the church. He just wants us to go be a witness for him and let him handle all the hard stuff. Because we like control too much, we want to control every variable. So if I tell this person the gospel, I want to make sure they're going to accept Jesus Christ. No, baby. Sugar pie. Honey bunch. It doesn't work like that. Just be obedient. Tell your neighbor, just be obedient.
Just be obedient.
So let's look at verse 1. I think there's a couple principles that come to light out of this passage that I think would encourage us to be about reaching God's people. Because let me say this parenthetically. I think it's clear that Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. I think that was Jesus' mission. Amen? Does our mission change?
No.
Has our mission changed?
No.
Yes, it has. Look at the way church is done today. We've elevated way too many other things than God's mission. The church has developed their own mission. As I said to the group on Wednesday, it's not that the church has a mission, it's that God's mission has a church.
Yeah.
Y'all listen, that's what I mean.
No, he said it.
Sometimes we think that we have our own mission as a church, but in reality, it's God's mission that has a church. So we're to execute and perform what God told us to do. And so when they don't do that, this is what happens. He sends Saul. Because look at verse 1. It says, and Saul approved of his execution. Just real quick, this is the execution of Stephen, who was a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. He wasn't called to preach. He just preached.
Okay.
Yeah, y'all listen to that.
No, we got it.
He wasn't called to preach. But he preached anyway, and that preaching got him into some hot water. And it caused him to be executed because of his preaching.
Okay.
And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Verse 2, devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him, but Saul was ravaging the church. Everybody say ravaging.
Ravaging.
And entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. So the job of the church was not to just huddle up in small circles and small services, but their job was to scatter beyond Jerusalem. All right? So think about the church. Think about this analogy. We just all saw the NBA Finals, right?
Yes.
Yes. Anybody sad about it?
No.
Anybody glad about it?
Yeah.
I'm praising the Lord for my Golden State Warriors. Let's give them a warm welcome to praise. Some of y'all can get out of here with all that. We praise God for using these brothers in such a phenomenal way. Praise God. Amen.
Yes.
I love it. But think about this. The battle was not won in the locker room.
Right.
At some point, these brothers had to leave the locker room and do battle on the basketball court.
Right.
And the basketball game had two halves. They had first half, second half. And sandwiched in between those halves is what they call halftime. And all the times in the halftime, if you ever play sports, you would go into the locker room, and oftentimes what you would receive is instructions from the coach. And the coach would use that as a means to teach you what to do differently to be prepared to go back on the court. Mm-hmm. Because at some point, they got to go back to the court. Because that's where the game is won. Mm-hmm. Not in the locker room. Think about church like that. That the church, when we come together on Sunday morning, this is our halftime. Mm-hmm. We're coming together to get instructions from the Lord to teach us how to live our life in such a way that honors Him. But the battle's not won when we're in here. The battle is won when we go out there.
Yes.
And so our job is to not just have these holy huddles, but to be willing to go out into these dangerous places and tell people about Jesus Christ. You guys say amen. That's what the Bible tells us. And what happens is the church doesn't do that. And here's what God does. He says, you don't want to obey me? I'll send Saul. And the Bible says Saul ravaged the church. Now, I want you to understand, in that Greek, it's not talking about like a kitty cat ravage. It gives us the imagery of a lion or a wild beast tear into something. And he says, I sent Saul to tear up the church. And that's what moved the church. And I don't know about you, I don't want God to have to send a Saul to all nations, community, church to make us do anything. It ought to be because we're motivated because of what he has said to us, and we're going to perform exactly what he told us to do. Amen? And so we got to move. Everybody say move. But I want you to notice that they were scattered to Judea. And I want you to look at this. And it also says Samaria. Dr. Charter taught us a great lesson on yesterday. Highlight this idea of Samaria. I'm not going to unpack all that because I'm going to mess up what she did yesterday. But I wanted to get this gist. The Samaritans were the enemies of the Jews. Okay. All right. Okay, let's understand this. So God needed his word preached, not to just our friends. He wants the gospel even preached to our enemies too. We were cool when you said, all right, let's go to Judea. Okay, we know them. We're cool with them. But what does it look like then when God tells you, I want you to go to that neighbor that lets their dog come onto your property and do their business all in your, come on here. Y'all let me go. Yeah. And you done told them more than one time to get your dog. God says, I want you to tell the gospel to that person too.
Uh-oh.
Okay, we make this close to home. What about that coworker? That always, always causing problems. You ain't got
to
say
anything.
Y'all think about them right now. Pray for them. The church, and I want you to get this point, the church was made to scatter. Everybody say scatter.
Scatter.
Not just gather, that's part of it, but we were made to scatter. Mm-hmm. But then I want you to pay attention to the two things that Saul's rage does. I want you to pay attention to this. It forces the church to go to Jerusalem, out of Jerusalem, into Judea and Samaria. But then also, and I love this, the church did not depend on the apostles when they went. I want you to pay attention to that. Because remember in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, it says that they sat under and they listened to the apostles' teaching. When the scatter happens, they couldn't take the apostles with them. But guess what they began to do anyway? Preach anyway. I want you to pay attention to that. So the idea is that we don't have to go with a preacher to help us share the gospel. God has put everything inside of you necessary to tell people about Jesus. Okay, y'all remember, you remember the story of the demon-possessed man? When he got saved, he got transformed by the gospel. If you remember, he said, I want to follow you, Jesus. What does he say? No, stay right here. Because when we experience Jesus, God, he gives us everything we need to be an effective witness for him. And guess what happened? He begins to tell people what thus said the Lord, what he has done in his life. And that's where you just need to start. Just go tell people about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Tell your neighbor, tell folks about Jesus.
Tell folks about Jesus.
That was mighty weak. That was mighty weak. I was not excited.
Tell folks about Jesus.
Tell your neighbor, go tell someone about Jesus.
Go tell someone about Jesus.
So, the church must scatter, but then also we must spread the gospel, not gossip.
Uh-oh.
We must spread the gospel, not gossip. look at verses 4 through 8. Look what it says. Now those who were scattered, and I love this, went about preaching the word. Verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him and saw the signs, underline that, the signs that he did, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had been, and many who were paralyzed. Notice, who were paralyzed, lame, were healed. So there was much joy in the city. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So the description of these preachers was that they were scattered, but they wasn't scattered with their own agenda. Did y'all catch that? The Bible says that they were scattered preaching the word. And I think the problem for many churches is that many people spread too much gossip than they do the gospel.
Yes.
They talk too much about stuff that doesn't matter. Rather than something that can totally transform somebody's life. It's amazing, especially with the invention of social media. Folks can talk bad about people, even in service right now.
Yes. Yes.
How he called me. And our job is to be about passing on the gospel. And notice what happens. These were not formal preachers. Now, I want you to pay attention. They didn't go to seminary. They didn't go to a priest to teach them how to be preachers, anything. The Bible teaches us that they became accidental missionaries. Woo, Jesus. They didn't say, I was called. They didn't have to come to the service and walk down the aisle and say, I'm called to preach. They didn't come down the aisle and say, I'm called to be a missionary. The Bible says that they were sent out and they instantly became missionaries. So let me say this to y'all. As y'all scatter today, immediately, you're missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
Got quiet right there. I said, I don't know about that preacher. You put some weight on me. But notice this. Philip preached. Look at verses 5 through 8. Philip preached and did great miracles. Remember I said that Stephen did start out as a preacher? Both Philip and Stephen were called at the same time to serve tables. That's all they were called to do. They weren't called to be a preacher or a missionary. They were just called to serve tables. And let me say this. It doesn't matter where you start. I think it's important for you to be faithful where you are.
Yes.
Amen? And
amen.
If you be faithful where you are, God will do the increasing and give you more responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I remember years ago when I first got into church, my pastor, he reached out to me and said, can you be my armor bearer? Okay? If you don't know anything about armor bearer, basically we walk with the pastor, help take care of whatever needs he had and all that, carry his Bible, fix some water, just whatever he needed, okay? I thought that was kind of beneath me. I'm like, you don't even know who I am. I don't carry your Bible. I mean, I didn't say that all of me. I mean, I just looked at him like, y'all know the look.
Like, yeah, we know
this. You look him up and down, right? Some of y'all acting like y'all too holy. Y'all know the look. Because y'all have given it already this morning. And so I started out as this armor bearer, and I wasn't called to ministry yet, but then later on, God called me to ministry. Then there was a church that said, hey, would you be our youth pastor? I said, what's a youth pastor? But I researched it, and I was faithful in being a youth pastor. And then God opened another door. And then God opened another door. And then God sent me here, all because I was faithful when the church called me. Okay? Understand something. God had one call. He had me called to be here. But the church also has the ability to see what's in you and say, I need you to serve right here. Now don't give people a snake eye. Now, don't. You want me to sleep? Do you see this anointing?
Yes.
Yep.
So, we're too anointed for our own good. Jesus. And I'm learning that if you learn to be faithful when the church calls you, then allow God to elevate and open other doors. But if you can't be faithful where you are, don't expect God. God to use you anywhere else.
Yes.
So when the church called Philip and Stephen to serve tables, these boys, they got down with it, they started serving tables, but they didn't stay there. They began to preach God's word, and God used them mightily. Because I want you to pay attention to what's happening with Philip. So he goes down to the city of Samaria, and notice what he's doing. He's not preaching about the apostles, but he's preaching Christ to them. As we scatter, our job is not to preach about the preacher. Oh, he all right. He look good. I think y'all some stuff to use. He's on y'all, he's amazing. You pray for him, yeah. No, our job is not to preach about the preacher. Our job is not to preach about our church. Mm-hmm. Our job is to preach Christ. Because he has the power to change people's lives. So watch what happens. He preaches Christ to them in verse 5, verse 6. Look at this. And it said, the people observed and paid attention to what he was saying. Because as we're sharing the gospel, that grips the attention, not how well we say it. We let Christ grip their heart and their attention. Just preach it. Everybody say, just preach it.
Just preach it.
But I love what happens next. The Bible says, as he preaches the gospel, the Bible says, miracles started happening. I want you to keep it. God begins to affirm the work that Philip was doing by performing some amazing things. Mm-hmm. So our job as a church is not to look for the amazing things to happen. It's not for us to pray for the amazing things. If we just preach Christ, we allow God to just be amazing all by himself. Yeah. Notice that we don't see that Philip goes there and say, Lord, would you heal people? Would you deliver people? Would you set free? Would you do some amazing things? The Bible says all he does is be obedient and preach the gospel. And guess what? Amazing stuff started happening. And maybe we're not seeing the amazing things happening. Maybe because we're not preaching Jesus enough. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
We have too many other things we want to preach about. I was listening to a guy this morning, and I was thumbing through Twitter, and I was trying to find something to watch, and I saw this preacher get up, and he was preaching. He read a scripture, and that's about all he did. I mean, there was nothing from the scripture whatsoever. I mean, he just kept going on, and I was just waiting. I was looking at my watch, and I was like, okay, it's 15 minutes. He's going to go back to the scriptures. He's going to talk about the Lord. But it was just a soliloquy of all of his ideas, and it sounded real good. The people are like, amen, Reverend. But no Jesus.
Uh-oh.
Our job is not just make people feel good. Our job is just to preach Jesus and he'll make people feel good. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So Philip obeys, he preached the gospel, and God made things happen. God made things happen. And I just need to ask our church today, do we want to see God do some amazing things?
Yeah.
Do we? Let me ask it this way. Do we expect God to do some amazing things?
Yeah.
Then our job from this point forward is to go preach the gospel.
All right.
Uh-huh. No, they're shouting about it. It's okay. But it's the truth. If we're going to see God do something amazing, we got to preach the gospel. Tell your neighbor, preach the gospel.
Preach the gospel.
One of the fastest movements right now in the globe that's happening is that there are millions, they estimate 50 to 100 million Chinese people giving their life to Jesus Christ. The reason why people don't know it, because they're not in gathering in large facilities like this, they're all underground churches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're meeting outside.
Yeah.
They're meeting in caves. We're talking about the 21st century. They're meeting in apartments. They're meeting in people's homes. And the focus is not to try to build beautiful buildings. They just want to tell people about Jesus. And watch this. And we watched a video a few weeks ago, and it was happening so fast that in one apartment complex, they didn't realize that there was another gathering happening in their very own building. Because they weren't concerned about how many people were showing up. They were just concerned with how well can we tell people about Jesus and then let Jesus handle all the heavy stuff. We wrong stuff.
Yes. Yes.
So church, we need to scatter right now. Amen?
Amen.
So as we go to God in prayer, I'm done. As we go to God in prayer, I want you to pray for the courage to tell people about Jesus. Because if we're going to, our job is not to just reach the already saved. We like those. That's easy. We want the easy folks. And God, in this season, is calling for us to reach the hard people. Philip went to the city of Samaria preaching Jesus amongst his own enemies. Do you think that was hard?
Yes.
It had to be hard. But yet God used him mightily because he was willing to trust God's plans, not his own. So as a church, we're going to be about helping people grow, but we're also going to help reach people. So as we bow in prayer, I want you to examine your own. Matter of fact, ask the Lord to examine your heart. And maybe put other things as a priority. And not reaching people. But today, we're making a commitment to be about reaching people. We're going to be a church that's going to scatter. We're going to be a church that's going to share the gospel and not gossip. We're going to tell people about Jesus. Because his blood still works. It does not matter what's happening in the culture. It doesn't matter what's happening in the community. The blood of Jesus will never lose its power. You and I don't have the power to change a soul. But Jesus can. Amen. The church say amen.
Amen.
Would you stand with me? As we raise up on out of here, I have a little good news to share with you. Last Sunday, we talked with a couple people. The mother and her son both gave their life to Jesus Christ last Sunday. Praise God. Amen. See them this morning, but I'll make sure I introduce you to them. So we're going to get them in our new believers class and have a baptism real soon. Praise God. Oh, that was kind of weak. Two people, the Lord, they're saved. And if the angels rejoice,
I will chase you down.